Are you open to Psalm 51 tonight? I hope that you're there. Tonight I want to talk to you about David's words. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." This is a great psalm. Matter of fact, Psalm 51 has been called the truest prayer of repentance ever prayed. Augustine said that the Psalm 51, he said, it's the greatest prayer of confession that has ever been penned. What an incredible word. We know in Psalm 51 that David, his heart, man, is broken and he is hurting. And the reason he's hurting is that he committed sins secretly and he would not confess them. He broke the sixth commandment and the seventh commandment. He had adultery with Bathsheba and then had Uriah, her husband, killed as he sent them in, him in front of battle. And he covered up his sin now for nearly an entire year. He had not confessed it at all. And so in 2 Samuel 12:1, it says this, "Then the Lord," after nearly a year now, it says, "Then the Lord," as I set this psalm up, it says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city. One was rich and the other was poor.'" I encourage you to read the rest of the story there in 2 Samuel 12 later on tonight. But you know the story. Nathan, God sent Nathan out of his incredible grace, his incredible love to David. For David had not confessed his sin. And David was suffering horribly because of it. You know, listen, in David's heart or any of our hearts, we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're the temple of the living God. And when we live with unconfessed sin, you know what happens? There's an ongoing, constant, lingering hurt that resides in our hearts. And the Lord seems so far away, and his voice is smaller than the still, small voice that he speaks to us sometimes. Loved one, unconfessed sin is such a brutal thing to our hearts. You know, the pain of covering our sin instead of confessing sin. Let me read what David said in Psalm 32 about his sin with Bathsheba and what was happening to him because of his unconfessed sin. David cries out in Psalm 32:3. David says, "When I kept silent," in other words, before I confessed my sin, he said, "Oh, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long." He says, "The guilt, it just crushed me night and day." He says, "My groaning," or my roaring, if you will, in the Hebrew, it says, "was all day, every day." So the horrible pain, the suffering that really goes on to those who love the Lord and who are called by the Lord and belong to the Lord. Whenever we have that unconfessed sin, it's painful. David says, he goes on and he says, I'm wasting away. In 32:4 of the Psalms, he says, "For night and day, your hand, O God, was heavy upon me." You're just draining the life out of me, he says. "And my vitality was turned into the drought of summer." He said, "Everything within me, I've become a parched heart and a parched mind and a parched soul and a parched spirit. I am dry." He says, "Oh Lord, I need you," is what he's crying out. So we look tonight to Psalm 51, and it says, "To the master," or the chief musician, "a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba." In other words, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. So look at David's prayer of repentance, and let's begin in verse 1, Psalm 51:1. David cries out in prayer, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness," or according to your unchanging love. He says, "Listen, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." When David cries out to God, and he says, "Oh God, please have mercy upon me," you know what he's saying? He's saying, "God, listen, I know your nature. I know that you're holy. And I know that mercy is part of who you are. And I need your mercy right now, Lord." He says, "Oh, have mercy upon me according to your incredible loving kindness." See, I'm so thankful tonight that we have a merciful and grateful and faithful high priest that we can run to him anytime. I'm so thankful that the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, or the source of every mercy that there is, the God of all comfort. We can run to him. Are you in sin tonight? Have you unconfessed sin? Or has the pandemic caused you to live in a way that you are living now away from God? Man, listen, don't do that. You come back to him tonight. You can. God is merciful. Matter of fact, Lamentations tells us in 3:22, the Lord's mercies, that's why we're not consumed, and his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. So David, he cries out for mercy. And you know what that means? He's crying out for something he doesn't deserve. And the reason he is doing it to ask for mercy is to know that he's guilty. You know what? Do you know, you'd be surprised probably how many times a day I say, Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to the sheep of your pasture at Calvary Chapel. Oh, Lord, be merciful to our nation. Oh, Lord, give us what we do not deserve, your incredible, unbelievable mercy. Oh, listen, we need mercy. And for David, again, to ask for mercy, it means, God, I'm guilty. I know that I have sinned. And tonight, you know what we can do? We can run with all of our heart, with incredible boldness. It says in Hebrews 4:16, with the boldness, we can run to the throne of grace, that place that we can find mercy and grace in time of help and obtain it. Listen, that's what everybody needs, is mercy. I would to God tonight, as I look over this nation, and as I've been praying for this nation, as I know you've been praying, I would to God tonight that every Christian in America would get down upon their knees and cry out and say, oh God, forgive us, forgive my nation, forgive all the churches, everyone, just start praying and say, oh God, we go boldly to the throne for our nation tonight. America needs forgiveness. Our nation needs mercy. Our nation needs what David says. He said, oh, blot out my transgressions. Blot them out, Lord. I've stepped over the line. I did it on purpose. I did it willingly. I knew what I was doing when I looked at Bathsheba. There she was taking a bath. I was in my palace. I knew better not to sin for her, but I did sin for her. And I lay with her. Oh, God. And then when she became pregnant, yes, Lord, I sinned again. I sent Uriah, her husband, into the heat of battle to be killed. I tried to cover my sin. My transgression. I willingly did those things. So what does David say? He said, Lord, would you blot out? Would you erase all the transgressions, everything that is against me? Would you just remove it? You know, the word blot out is a word picture. It means to rub out, like a picture of, rub out all the debt, rub out everything in my account book, oh Lord. But David, what I love about David is he takes ownership. And that's what true confession is. He took ownership of what he did. You know, David says, my transgression. And he didn't say, I didn't mean to do it, Lord. He didn't say that. He said, oh, no, I made a bad mistake. He didn't say that either. He didn't say, oh, Father, listen, Bathsheba, she tempted me, which we know that's not true. No, listen, he took ownership. So David said, oh God, have mercy upon me. Would you erase, blot out, would you erase my willful disobedience, my willful sinfulness, my willful rebellion? God, he says, I purposely crossed the line, your line, and I knew better. What a great prayer. Oh, I thank God tonight that our sins have been blotted out. All the pages of our sin that was numbered against us have been completely erased. They now are as far as the east is from the west. And not only that, God remembers our sin no more. And David cries out in verse 2 and he says, oh, wash me. But look how he says it. Wash me thoroughly. What a great word. He says, my whole body is defiled, oh God. He says, I want you to wash me thoroughly. I need every part of my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. I need them all cleansed. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, that crookedness in my heart, that bent, if you will, that leaning towards sin and wanting to sin. He says, oh, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And watch this one. And cleanse me from my sin. Sin, missing the mark. Iniquity is, I want to do it. It's that bent in our nature, that twisted part of the old man, the corrupt part, that what was in Adam, if you will. He says, and then sin, of course, is missing the mark, falling short of the glory of God, God's standard. So when he says, wash me thoroughly, that's the idea of looking at something like a garment, and there's a big stain on it, and you just want to wash it completely where it's gone. He says, it's dirty. David is saying, when he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, David is saying, oh, Father, listen, I feel dirty all over. Isn't that what sin does to the believer? You feel dirty all over. You know that you're dirty all over. He says, listen, I just want it washed away, thoroughly washed away. I never want to feel this way ever again. You know, I'm so thankful tonight. Let's say you are in trouble. Listen, you go to God right now. You go to him. The Bible is so clear in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, Lord, I blew it. Lord, I did it on purpose. I knew what I was doing. Whatever happened, if we confess our sins, here it comes. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. When you confess your sin, it is forgiven. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful word. I'm so thankful for tonight that our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, it says in Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, man, listen, they've been laid upon our Savior. He took our transgressions, our iniquities. He took our sins. Thank God for that tonight. All of our twisted behavior, he's taken. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's our Lord. And look what David says in verse 3. He says, for I acknowledge, or literally, I confess my sin, my transgressions, plural, all of my rebellion, all of my willful disobedience, and my sin, watch this now, my sin is always before me. Now, conviction is a great gift from God. You see, it's the Holy Spirit convicting us. Praise the Lord. And he loves us. And so when we look at this conviction here, his unconfessed sin, David says, it's haunting me. It is tormenting me. It is always before me. In other words, David said, that's all I could see day after day and month after month. So we know for nearly a year, David's sin was unconfessed. What does he mean when he says, my sin was always before me? Remember now, that David's confession came about a year, whatever it was, after he had sinned. And that the baby had already been born to Bathsheba, remember? Now, the child died about a week after David's confession. So when David, he looked and he saw the little one that he loved, that he didn't want to die, that he was praying and fasting, oh God, please don't take my child, but God did take the child. He said, my sin is always before me. Now, he wasn't saying that his baby, calling his baby sin, but he was looking at the results of his disobedience. He says, oh God, help me. You see, David wasn't prospering in those 9 months or to a year. The Bible tells us this. It says in Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses his sins and forsakes them will have mercy. Unconfessed sin. Now, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But loved one, don't hide your sin. Man, confess it and forsake it. And so what it does, it steals our joy. It steals our peace. He says in verse 4, against you, only you, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless or perfect when you judge. The law of Moses said that adultery was punishable by death, by stoning. And Bathsheba and both David, both of them should have been stoned, but they were not stoned at all. That's God's grace, loved one. So here, David sinned. He says, listen, yes, he sinned against Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba and himself and his family and everything else. But here he says, listen, I sinned against you. And that is this. All sin is really against God. And God sees it. And David says, I've done this evil, meaning I hate what I have done. And you know the horrible consequences. See, we don't know where sin has pleasure, the Bible says, only for a season. And then all of a sudden we pay for it, loved one. You know, even though Jesus paid for our sins, listen, sin sometimes has consequences. Sometimes we reap what we sow. And David certainly did. You remember what happened? You know, here on David's sin, he paid for his sin until the day that he died. Matter of fact, the Bible says, or Nathan told him, that the sword is never going to leave your house, David. And they never did. And look at the horrible trouble that he had with his children, Amnon and Tamar and Absalom and so forth. David's paid for those sins, loved one. He suffered. It says in verse 5, behold, he says, I was brought forth in iniquity. In other words, I was born. When I was born, I had a twisted nature. He says, and in sin, my mother brought me forth or conceived me. So what is David saying here? He's saying, Father, listen, sin is not just a surface problem that can be seen. Sin stains our entire nature. I was born a sinner. Every person that's ever been born has been born a sinner. David says in Psalm 58:3, he said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Every person ever born, after Adam and Eve fell in the garden, was born a sinner, all because of Adam. Now, we cannot help being born into this world and being born with Adam's nature, that fallen nature, but we don't have to stay in Adam. A person, oh man, they can come to Christ, the only name that has ever been given under heaven unto man to be saved, by the name of Jesus. Jesus told us that he was the way, the truth, the life, and that no man cometh to the Father. No man can make it to heaven, no person, without Jesus Christ. David cries out in verse 6, and he says, oh, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. The inward parts, my heart, the place that God sees. He says, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Did you catch that? You will make me, God. Father, you'll make me to know wisdom. So what is David saying? David says, listen, Father, show me the things that really are. He says, David says, help me to know the ugly, ugly truth about me. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. I tell you something. That should be the cry of every Christian tonight. Matter of fact, for the entire month of September. I think our election is, 8 weeks away, 9 weeks or something away? Our nation is so divided. There's so much bloodshed. There's so much murder and mayhem that is occurring. There's so much man's inhumanity against man tonight in our nation. I don't know that I've ever seen our nation this divided, and I've lived a long time, and I've seen all the riots in the 60s and all the things that happened. Loved one, listen, we're in trouble. The Christian's not in trouble. The church is not in trouble, but we're living in a troubled nation with a bunch of troubled people, And the cry of every Christian right this moment tonight should be, oh God, purge us, wash us, revive us again. Oh God, save our nation, oh God. David says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Hyssop in the Bible speaks of the removal of sin by the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin. And so, you know, hyssop, that little bitty plant-like, it was like a sponge. And remember how God commanded Moses and the children of Israel there in Egypt. He says, you know, take the hyssop and put it into the blood of the lamb and then strike the lintel of your doorpost over your home. The death angel, remember, was coming. And, you know, of course, we know that those who stayed in the house, the death angel didn't touch them because of the blood of the lamb. Listen to me now. The only way out of bondage, the only way out of Egypt, the only way out of slavery, the only way to overcome the world is by the blood of the lamb. Oh, how precious that blood is tonight. He says, David says in verse 8, he says, make me hear joy. Make me hear gladness. You know what? We could use that tonight. In the midst of this pandemic, you know, I have been, Becky and I, my wife, she was talking to me on the way here this morning. And she said, you know what? She said, we've been out since March 13th. We've been out 4 times, meaning out of the house into another, a restaurant or whatnot. 4 times. And you know what she said? Same thing everybody's saying. It doesn't matter where you go eat, there's a heaviness. There's just a heaviness, and there's such a huge separation, and there's no talking really, and there's like a gloom hangs over everyone. And I tell you what, we need that tonight. Oh, like David said, make me hear joy. Oh, God, make me hear gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. David's saying, man, when you don't confess your sin, it's like breaking your leg. You're just immobilized. He says, oh, hide your face from my sins, plural. And there's that word again, blot out or erase all of my iniquities. You know what unconfessed sin does? David told us, he says, the sound of joy is gone. The sound of gladness is gone. Boy, listen, I can't wait till this place, this chapel, yes, we're back on Sundays, but I mean when we're all back and we are shouting for joy and where he makes our heart glad when we finally see the end of all that's happening. David says, I just want to praise you again. I want my heart to be clean. I want my conscience to be clean. David is really saying, listen, Father, I want fellowship again, because I have been out of fellowship with you for so long. He says, oh, make me hear joy. Make me hear gladness, oh Lord. Blot out all my iniquities. And then he says these words, and I've said this and prayed this for myself, loved one, throughout my Christian life, Christian walk. He says, oh God, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Was David saved? Of course he was. Did David love the Lord? Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. And that's what God said about him. So David is saying, listen, he says, I'm crying out to you, Lord, because I know what I've done. And I know how evil the things that I've done, how evil they are. He says, oh, Lord, listen, I want you to do something. Would you create, that word in Hebrew is bara, the same word in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created out of nothing, okay? Created the world out of nothing. He spoke and it was done. He says, I need you to create in me another heart. I don't want my heart anymore. He says, oh God, please, I want a brand new, clean, perfect heart. I don't want my heart anymore because I know it's dirty. I know that my heart is filthy. I know what I've done, and I've paid for it, Lord, being out of fellowship with you. I don't hear your voice anymore. Oh, Lord, please, that gladness, that joy, I need it tonight. He says, oh God, please, this dirty heart. What a word. You ever prayed that way? Oh God, my heart is dirty. I've looked at dirty things. I've thought dirty things. I'm living and doing dirty things. Christian, listen, you cry out to the Lord. You cry out to him right now. You say, oh God, create in me a brand new heart. A brand new heart that has never been before. Listen, can I tell you something? You hear, I've said it too. The Lord, give your heart to the Lord. Can I tell you something tonight? God doesn't want man's dirty, deceitful, above all things, desperately wicked heart. You know what he wants to do to you? He wants to give you a new heart. Yeah, he wants to take out that stone of flesh and give you a brand new heart. Oh, you know what? All you have to do is say, Jesus, be my Lord tonight. Jesus, come in and be my Lord. And you know what? He'll save you. He'll save you even right this minute. He says, oh God, create in me a clean heart, one that is washed, a brand new heart that I've never had before. I want to live differently for the rest of my life, oh God, is what David is saying. And then he says, renew in me right now, Lord, a steadfast spirit within me. I want to be immovable in this life for the rest of my life, Lord. My allegiance and my heart is totally sold out to you. I want to love you, Lord, with all of my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind, and my neighbor as myself, is what David is saying. He says, Lord, I don't want, when temptation arises again in my life, I want to be steadfast. I don't want nothing can knock me down again, Lord, as long as you forgive me, as long as you love me. I just want my heart ruled by you. What a great prayer. What a great word for the churches in America. Oh God, rule the church again and rule our hearts again. He says, don't cast me away from your presence. Man, listen, to be away from God means to be out of fellowship with God. He says, don't cast me away from your presence. And listen to what he's going to say. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David is saying, I know what happened to King Saul. And now I'm the king. I know that you took the spirit off of King Saul, Lord. He says, don't do that to me. Listen, loved one, we are new covenant people, not old covenant. And you know what? Back then, the Holy Spirit come upon them. But now the Holy Spirit has come not only upon us, but in us. And we can quench the Spirit of God. Yes, a Christian can. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit, make him sad because he's a person. But I'm going to tell you that you can never grieve the Holy Spirit away. Jesus told the disciples, he said, and the Holy Spirit, pardon me, he says, and the Holy Spirit will be with you forever, the divine helper of the church. It says in Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, past tense, the moment you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, Jesus, be my Lord, save me. It says, you were, past tense, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance. Listen now, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Man, until the moment we walk into heaven, loved one, God has saved us. And he says in verse 12, he says, oh God, in this great prayer, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Loved one, now this is a crucial doctrinal point that we don't want to miss here. David is not saying, oh, restore me to salvation. I'm lost and hell is going to be my home. That's not what David is saying at all. David is saying, I need to restore unto me the joy that I had from being saved. He's saved and he's still saved then. He says, I want to have that joy again. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he's saying, oh Lord, restore that joy to me. I need communion with you. I need intimacy again with you. There is nothing worse than being out of fellowship with God. You know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, loved one, that we have fellowship with one another, meaning God and us. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You know, when we sin, we don't break sonship, we break fellowship, loved one. To be out of fellowship with God is a horrible thing. You feel lonely, you feel empty. You feel like David says, I'm all dry up inside. I don't hear his voice anymore. There's nothing worse than being out of fellowship with our Father in heaven. None at all. You know, verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And it says, uphold me with your generous spirit. The NIV translates it this way, and I love how they did that. It says, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. In other words, David says, Lord, here's what I'm asking you to do. From now on, for the rest of my life, you know what I've done, but from now on, Lord, make me willing. What a great word. In other words, God, help me to open up my heart to you. And Lord, I want you to see all the dirt. I don't want to hide anything from you. I just want you to make me willing to open up all the places of my heart, Father. All of my heart, for you know it. See, David, he wanted restoration for a purpose. Look what it says. He says, and then I will teach transgressors your ways. And look what else. And those outside of Christ or outside of God, he says, and sinners will be converted to you. He says, I will teach transgressors, those that are willful in their disobedience. I'm going to teach them your ways, oh God. What a great request. David says, listen, I'm going to help those that have fallen into the same trap that I've fallen in, into the same transgressions I've fallen in. He says, God, that's what I want to do. I want to help others, and I want to tell them about your incredible grace. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, oh God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. What is David saying? He's saying, Father, you know what I did. I killed. I had an innocent man murdered. I was responsible for Uriah's death. He says, God, please forgive me. I want to sing again. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Remember, that's what he was called. The sweet psalmist of Israel. He says, I want to sing again. Look at the next verse. He says, oh Lord, I want to sing again. Open my lips, oh Lord, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Your praise. True praise can only come from a true heart. It's hard to sing to the Lord if you're living in unconfessed sin. He says, for you do not desire, or you don't find pleasure in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. Why did David say that? Why does God not delight in those sacrifices? He's the one who commanded them. You know why? It's because every time a sacrifice was offered then, in the first five sacrifices, if you will, there in Leviticus, is because of sin, disobedience unto God. And not only that, whenever they offered the sacrifice, the blood of bull and goats or whatnot, it never took away their sin. It only atoned or covered their sin for another year, if you will, you know, the Day of Atonement. No, it didn't pay for their sin. They were always reminded of their sins. Oh no, it took Jesus Christ coming, the Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God, who takes away all the sin of the world. And there's only one sacrifice for sin, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And David says, I'm broken, man. That's a sacrifice, Lord, you really want. I am broken to pieces right now. He says, I'm crushed, I'm shattered. A broken and contrite heart, a crushed heart over what sin can do. These, O God, you will not despise. David is telling us tonight, he says, listen, God listens to our lips, but that doesn't, you know, that's not how it's done. He says, God says, oh, God sees our hearts. He looks at the sacrifices of our hearts, and he won't despise that. You see, God takes a broken people and with broken hearts, and he uses them. And you know, that's the cry of every Christian, isn't it? Every true Christian, Lord, please purify my heart. Please wash me. This sin has captured me. This sin, I got in trouble, Lord, I just want it gone. Listen, you know, we blame the world for so much, but the problem is that the world has entered into our hearts, and that's why we got into sin. No. The Bible says in Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people, and pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. God's word said, trust me. God says, you can empty your entire heart to me. Isn't that wonderful? He already knows your heart. It's so wonderful to go to the Lord and pour, say, Lord, here it is. This is the whole enchilada, man. This is a whole story. And just pour out and say, Lord, God says, let me have those things. Get rid of them. Are you willing to open your hearts tonight if you're in trouble, if you're in sin, if you have unconfessed sin? Are you willing tonight, if that's you, to say, Lord, I need a heart inspection. I need you to look at me. The psalmist has said in Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me or prove me, test me, and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me. Is there anything in me, Lord, that offends you? He says, oh, lead me in the way everlasting. Maybe we all need a heart checkup tonight. I know that this nation does. This nation needs a heart check tonight. For this nation is taking the people, the leadership, you know, I'm talking not about Republicans and Democrats, I'm talking about all of them. They're taking us in a direction without God. Oh, how we need God in our government. Oh, listen, David says, oh, do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem, and then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering, whole burnt offering, and then they shall offer bulls on your altar. I'm not sure what David is saying here. And because a lot of expositors and great scholars say that this is not part of this psalm, I don't know. But when I read it, I say, well, it's there, and here's the way I look at it. I think David, when he was talking about building up Jerusalem, restoring whatever was necessary, I think David is saying to us tonight and to the Lord, he's saying, Lord, listen, I want you to build up all that I've destroyed because I've messed everything up. Oh, I've caused hurt with others. I've tore other people up. I've caused murder and all the rest of it. He says, Lord, please fix what I've done, what I've destroyed. Would you make alive again? You know, loved one, listen. Why did David sin? Remember why? You know, we all know why. We've read the story a million times about David there in his palace at the springtime of year when the kings go out to war. You know what David did? He didn't go. He laid down his armor. He laid aside his armor when he should have been out fighting, and he sinned with Bathsheba. Loved one, listen to me. You have to have the armor of God on every day. Every day. Man, you have to, the devil wants to come against you like you can't imagine. And I want to tell you something tonight about David. You know, sin was the exception in the life of David. Sin was not his lifestyle. So let's make just a couple of applications tonight, okay? Listen, number one, David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. He danced before the Lord. Listen, the psalms that he has written, that the shepherd boy, I'm telling you, incredible. What does that tell us tonight? That no one is too holy. No one is too holy to fall into sin. Man, listen, you know, we need to be so careful. You never, ever reach a level, loved one, you know, to where you don't sin. You're always in a state of transformation. We are being taken, remember, from glory to glory to glory, one step at a time, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say, I've made my heart clean and I am pure from my sin? I can't make my heart clean, but I can ask God to make it clean. I can't make my heart pure, but I can say, Lord, make my heart pure, and he will. And another thing is, no one is so sinful that they cannot be forgiven. No one. I mean, David, the adultery and the murder, the whole bit. You know, you come to God with a broken heart, man, and he will forgive you. The other thing is we need to be quick to repent. Man, don't hold your sin. I mean, your unconfessed sin. Confess your sin. The Bible says in Psalm 38:4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. What does that tell me? It tells me that man can't deal with his own guilt. Man, we need a Savior. We need Jesus all the time. In church, another thing as we close tonight, listen to me now. All day today, from early in the morning, I was just talking to Pastor Aul not too long ago, and I just told him, I said, America's been heavy on my heart all day long since my early prayer time this morning. You know, listen, we must pray for our nation. Our nation has lost its way. Our nation has lost its moral compass. Our nation is going away from God, not to God. You remember what the Lord God told Judah, the southern kingdom? Over and over, he begged them to repent, plead, sent prophet after prophet, repent, come back to me, get away from doing wrong, and so forth. Listen, God says in Jeremiah 18:11, he says, now, therefore, Jeremiah, you speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and tell them this, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster. What a word. He says, listen, Jeremiah, you go and you tell the southern kingdom, you tell the people of Jerusalem that I'm doing something because they will not repent. They'll not turn back to me. I'm talking about a nation now. He says, I am preparing, I am framing, I am fashioning a disaster. And God says, I'm devising a plan against you. And you know what's so unbelievable? What God is fashioning against the southern kingdom doesn't even have to happen. And whatever is coming to our nation doesn't have to happen either. No. He says, return now, every one of you, return from your evil way. Make your ways and your doings, make them good. That's grace. God says, all you have to do is come back to me. Do you know all that we have to do in America is for the church to have a revival and for every Christian to truly, if you're away from God, to come back to God. God says, come back to me. You come back to me right this minute. God gives Judah a choice because they have free will. We have free will, loved one. Listen, they didn't come back to the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the temple. You know the story. Took them off into Babylonian captivity. I'll tell you, that's what the devil wants for this nation. He wants this nation in captivity. He wants our freedoms gone. He wants the church to fail. It'll never fail. One in five churches are going to have to foreclose in the next 18 months in America because they cannot pay their bills. Think of that. One in five. Oh, that's heartbreaking. The Bible tells us something very clear, loved one. And this verse that I'm about to read isn't just for Jerusalem. It's for all the people of God. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this, Solomon writes, if my people, and we are God's people, if my people who are called by my name, if you will humble yourselves, if you'll just humble yourselves, if you'll just do what is right, if you will pray, if you will seek my face, God says, if you will turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. That is my prayer tonight. That is my prayer for this great nation that was founded on the principles of God, on the principles of the Bible. We need a revival. Every heart needs to be revived. Christian, listen to me. Are you away from God? Has this pandemic, the COVID-19, now that you've sheltered in place or quit going to church, are you living like the world? Are you so out of fellowship because you're not mixing with the church? You're mixing with the world and you're in sin. Maybe you started going back to the bars, or maybe you're starting to live together and things like, oh, listen to me. Run to God right now. Turn to God again right now. Get out of the pigsty. Get out of the pig pen. Get out of the waller. That's not you. Come to yourself right now. Come to your senses. And you run to your Father who's waiting on you. Run to Him right now. And when you come back, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that He will cover all of your filth. He'll take a robe of righteousness and He will lay it upon you and hide all the dirt, the dirty heart, hurt heart, and all the rest of it. He'll give you a ring and put it on your hand, which means you're back in authority again. You're back in sonship again. He'll put sandals on your feet. That means you're no longer a slave. And He'll say, oh, to His servants, go right now quickly. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party for my son, my daughter. They were dead, but now they're alive. They were lost, but now they're found. You come back. Come back now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You this wonderful word, Your word. Lord, my prayer for us tonight, create in us, create in me, create in all of us that need it, Lord, a clean heart, oh God. Renew within us a steadfast spirit. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Make us to hear joy and gladness again in this nation and in our homes and in our hearts. We ask it. We believe it. We receive it. In the greatest name in all of the universe, the mighty, the most beautiful name, Jesus our Lord, we pray. And we all say, amen and amen and amen. I love You.